Item on the agenda, proposed amendments, regulation 4 VAC 2650, establishment of oyster sanctuary areas to establish 5 new shellfish sanctuaries on the seaside of the eastern shore. Dr. Wesson.
Afternoon.
Afternoon.
Be very brief. We covered most of this at the last meeting. We've been working with the Nature Conservancy for about 7 years on oyster restoration for well over $1 million in restoration, and we have had problems in protecting the areas that we've constructed that were designated by the granting agencies to be sanctuaries only. And so what we had for you last month in the discussion was you adopted an MOU for the restoration management and enforcement of these sanctuaries. And then the second part was to incorporate these 6 sanctuaries that are mostly on riparian lands of the Nature Conservancy property into our regulation covering oyster sanctuaries. And just to really quickly go through each of them, just because each one's a little bit different. This Laurel one at Smith Island, we had some dueling interest on whether there was areas that could be cut out of that area and have private grounds. In no way in this, we're trying to stay right on the low water line as best we can, but it's very expensive to figure out this low water line generally, so we've made the polygons so that they're our best guess. But we met with the parties that were interested, and we've cut this piece out, which we're very happy to do. For private ground, that was enough, there was enough water there. Had private lease. This area had been petitioned by the Nature Conservancy for leasing in case we didn't get it, and that's been withdrawn. So that one seems to be going through the complex that we had with the interests. This one is near Oyster. The Nature Conservancy owns the outer area as well as the inner area. There's a little part in the center that's no man's land that it has water over it sometimes, not over it in others. And we don't feel like it's worth trying to figure out whether a private lease can be in there. And it would be like a donut with private lease within that sanctuary. So the polygon goes all the way around the area. The next one's Cobb Island. Really weren't any issues on that. It does track right along the low water mark where the lease is in. This one is similar. Most of the area is highland except for some of the public that we incorporated into the same polygon because we intend to do work out there also. And then the last one is up in Owen. We have in Accomack County, which is along Paramore Island, where we've done the restoration and we made the polygon that followed the shoreline and a little bit of the public that was within that. So in no way are we trying to take any areas away from people that could be leased. Most of these areas we set these polygons up just because it's easier for a person to understand these polygons than it is trying to figure out who owns property rights in these areas. So.
Any questions of Dr. Wesson? Mr. Tankard.
Low watermark, Dr. Wesson. How have you determined low water in these areas, just so we all know?
Engineering and surveying, it's a very expensive process to do it if you want to be exact, and they have used their best estimate of it in most cases. They tend to make sure that they are protecting the highland rights, so they may give a couple of inches there of water, but on the seaside, as you know, things are changing all the time, and it's only the best guess at the time that it was looked at and put on the maps. And if we, you know, it'd be very expensive if we wanted to get the exact line that would be there.
Further questions? Mr. Tankard?
Can you give me a sense of, when you say very expensive, what do you mean by that? Process that might be involved, because as you know, the seaside is very low.
Mr. Badger.
Would be better to mention that.
I haven't really priced one of the machines that would monitor the tidal information we'd need for a minimum of 30 days, but I'm guessing we're looking at $5,000 or $6,000. That's not the price. It's we can only do one survey at a time, So if we're doing it in that particular area, and let's just make the assumption that there's 6 or 7 or 8 other surveys that people want to get exactly on the dip, within a tenth of mean low water, we can do 6 in a period of 6 months maximum. So it slows us down. What we're doing right now is we're using the 2 real-time tide gauges, one at Kipta Peak and one at Watcher Creek. And depending on where we are, we're looking at those 2 in comparison to where we are on site. And by doing that, we can get relatively close. Low water, even though we're leasing to a certain spot that we're comfortable with being beyond the low water mark, the state of Virginia is still not giving up anything to the low water mark, wherever that happens. I mean, we still own it wherever it is. We're not comfortable with getting within any closer than 1/10, maybe a little bit more than that, if that helps. And in this particular case where Mr. Terry's application is, you've got small creeks and channels and everything that runs around there. Ownership in that area would be, it's going to be difficult to determine on its own, let alone low water. Low water may not determine the ownership anyway in some of those areas.
Further question?
I don't know if that answered your question, but it's time consuming more than anything else. For $500 for what the survey costs.
Further questions? So public hearing. Anyone in the public wish to be heard on this matter? Mr. Terry? Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. I know it's been a long day. I'll be brief. I know you have a letter. I believe everybody.
Yes, we do.
I would like to point out, just real quickly, this report by VIMS on the promotion of agriculture industry in the state of Virginia basically points out the 2 most important things, water quality and available ground. Aquaculture clams and oysters are still in the growth stage. Very quickly running out of available ground to grow. The reasons are in my letter. I won't go over them again. But it's very important that the private sector, especially the agriculture industry, doesn't continue to lose ground to the state for public process. And these orchard sanctuaries, we're very supportive of it. I think it's necessary. I support the Nature Conservancy in the state for trying to preserve the orchards on the seaside and the bayside. But we don't want to give up any private ground, and although it's a very small segment, we're still losing ground every day, and even though today it may not be good clam ground or oyster ground, one northeaster could be the best ground on the seaside. I'd also like to briefly touch on the low water mark. I understand it's a difficult process. I don't fault the engineering department for doing the best guess. I don't understand why the state owns bottom, or the private sector, or the private landowner owns bottom, why one side gets a benefit over the other side. If it's low water mark, it's low water mark. If it's not, it's not. If the landowner goes low water mark, why does he have to have plus or minus 1 or 2 inches of water, which on the seaside could amount to 30, 40 acres of good growing bottom? Why doesn't low water mark be low water mark and nobody gets an advantage, so that instead of that ground belonging to the landowner, it belongs to the state, where the state can gain economic revenue from it? That's basically all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Terry. It's interesting that you brought the issue of ground up. Mr. Lane and I were talking coming in this morning a little bit about Baylor in general and how, just the way things are going, it's not going to be too much longer where Baylor may have to be reexamined due to the fact of the way we do business around here as far as the necessity to have ground and things like that. So, you know, we're very cognizant of the fact that things are changing. Very, very appreciative of the good work, both economically and environmentally, that the agriculture business does for the Commonwealth, and appreciate your assistance in the matter.
Baylor is 115 years of tradition unmarred by progress.
I kind of said that, but I didn't say it that way. I said we had to look at it, but anyway. Thank you, Mr. Terry. Yes, I'm sorry, Mr. Tankard.
You know, the low water mark is an interesting. I've talked to you and some other watermen. And to give the commission a sense of what we can lose by having, or one can lose by having an inch or two off of the water, what can that mean for someone in the aquaculture business on the eastern shore of Virginia today?
It's, you know, 1 or 2 inches with the slope of the bottom could amount to 30, 40, 50 acres of growable bottom. You can over a three-year period, you can actually grow about 1 million clams an acre by rotating your crop. So, and you're talking about a lot of revenue. I think that Tom Walker is going to address that in just a second.
Thank you, Mr. Terry.
Thank you.
Mr. Walker? Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Commissioner Bowman, board members.
We've enjoyed 30 years of cooperation with BMRC, VIMS, the industry, and we've had 30 years of growth. It's been pretty darn easy. But right now, as everyone here is aware, Virginia is the number one producer of aquaculture mollusk on the East Coast, primarily clams. And our primary areas of production are the three lower creeks on the Chesapeake Bay side and Virginia Coast Reserve, the entire seaside, the eastern shore of Virginia. And this seaside area is really our fallback spot. Bayside creeks are obviously, there's less flushing, more vulnerable to agricultural impact, sheep flows, development. We're losing ground. That's just plain and simple. We're losing ground, and it's on a daily basis. And I'm afraid to say today, and not to be alarmed, I mean, I'm putting it out here because it's the way I think a lot of people are beginning to see it. For the first time ever on the seaside, we're having user conflicts. We discussed this in here 3 or 4 years ago, marking of the ground, landowners, user conflict. We heard that term a lot. And at that point, we didn't have it. On the ocean side, now we do. We have eelgrass sanctuaries, which is a good thing, but they're moving. We're very concerned they're going to move into our areas of production. We have sanctuaries that are possibly taking up large areas of buffer on Baylor. I question if these buffer areas are effective or a good usage of the bottom. Every square foot counts for us, and very quickly I'm going to give you the numbers of what the square footage or acreage production is. We currently use a six-year program for planting clams. We'll plant approximately 45 to 47% of a lease, and about a third of the lease per year. We'll move across an area at that production rate, and then after the harvest is completed, we'll come back and replant that area using the area that wasn't in production before. So what we're doing is we're creating 3 years of layout time for all of our production area. At that production rate, 1 acre of ground continuously each year is producing $24,000 of revenue for the county or the state, and what have I got here? $1,380 of tax revenue for the state of Virginia for each acre of ground, year after year. This is totally sustainable. It's not overproduction. So if we're looking at an inch or 2 inches or 3 inches, which sometimes in some cases can be a big number, 10 acres of ground, that's $250,000 a year. That's $13,800 to the state in tax revenue. So we're concerned about the most efficient usage possible. The decisions we're making in the next 2 or 3 years is going to shape our industry for the next 15 or 20 years. And I'd sure like to see my nephews still planting some clams. I hope that they don't have to go through the same type of demise that the commercial fishermen and the crabbers are experiencing today. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Walker. Anyone else? No. As you know, Mr. Tankard,
yes,
I've spent a little time over there as well. I can certainly understand where they're coming from. These sanctuaries are important. They provide a very, very beneficial use from an environmental perspective, and the intent certainly is good. But I can also understand the plight of those that are concerned with ground being taken up, not being utilized in the most beneficial way for the watermen. So I guess what I'm doing a little bit is talking to myself, but talking out loud as commissioner, that we will have a keen eye toward the allocation of ground when it comes to situations like this in the future. Mr. Fager?
Well, I think with that eye, though, it's very evident that mean low water is very important to leaseholders and riparian owners. But in particular, I think it's important to this industry, the aquaculture industry, that is so significant on the Eastern Shore of Virginia. And I believe that perhaps we might also need to make an investment of the type that Mr. Badger mentioned, so that we can help continue the growth of this industry. I by no means want to see the sanctuary in any way impaired, but at the same time, I think as we think into the future, we need to also think about how we can keep this industry growing, and if it takes having modern tools and methods to determine mean low water, then I think perhaps our commission needs to make that investment.
Points well made, as agency head. I hear you loud and clear. Mr. Highland?
We're not determining low water. We're just doing roping off, so to speak. What they're requesting is oyster grass. I mean, we're not determining who owns what.
That's correct. I mean, in this case, we're setting polygons to remove the uncertainty and saying this square is sanctuary. That's all we're saying.
This is a sanctuary. That's not the conservancy owns this or Tom Walker owns this or whatever. This is just probably putting it off for marking the sanctuary.
That's right.
Okay.
Further questions? Matters before the commission for action. Mr. Tankard.
I move to go forth the MOU between the Conservancy and the Marine Resource Commission.
Is there a second to the motion? Second by Mr. Lane. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
Aye.
Mr. Bowden votes no. Thank you all very much. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Chairman, just on that last vote, the motion sounded to us like it was to support the MOU, and actually what we're looking for is a motion to approve the regulation. Regulation 650.
Mr. Tankard.
You approved the MOU last vote.
Mr. Tankard.
I vote that we adopt the Regulation 4BAC 20-650-10.
Second to the motion?
Second.
Second by Mr. Lane. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
Aye.
One no. Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Travelstead.